Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Welcome to Teachable Moments. Welcome back. Happy Tuesday. I'm your host, Amber Waters Porter, and today is Q&A day with Pastor Porter. But before we go into our question and answer periods with Pastor Porter, I want to tell you how wonderful, 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 wonderful the conference with Dr. O was. It was simply a wonderful time. The information was wonderful. It was so well worth it. And if you ever get a chance to go, I think she has it every year. It's just look it up, drkathyo.org or drkathyo.com. It was fabulous. And so I just want to thank her because she was just on point, and I just appreciate her gift and the time that she spends with the Lord so he can download all this information to her so she can pick the right prayer warriors and speakers so they can shove that information back out to us. Thank you, Dr. O. Okay, today is Q&A. Got some questions going on. Pastor C, are you there? Pastor C? I can hardly hear you.
I said, I am here, ready to answer anything you have for me.
Okay. So, you know, we get these questions, and we get so many, and we don't always get to answer them all. So I'm just going to try to get to the new ones, but I do want to answer some of the older ones that we didn't get to last time before we head into the new ones. So let's just go ahead and get started because we want to get as many answered as we can. And I thought this question was kind of funny, but in a sense, it's real for some people. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you. Someone wants to know, what is church hopping? Are there dangers in going to different churches if it's all God's word? What do you say, Pastor C?
Well, firstly, to answer the first question, what is church hopping? Excuse me. I would say it is basically going from one church to another, not being settled and established in a primary home church under a pastor and the first lady and the deacons and the trustees and the order and the teaching and the doctrine of that church. So when you go here and there and everywhere and you're not subject to and you're not under any particular guidance, no one watching for your soul and praying over you and being that which shepherds are to their sheep. That's the first answer. So if you're going from one church to another, not stable, not settled, have no membership, you just go wherever you feel like going or not going at all, church hopping. What are the dangers? Well, one is, let me give you a good example, analogy. Let's just say Fruit Street, Pine Street, you know, Market Street in any city. And we'll say that there are approximately 75 houses on that block. And you have your own little house, your apartment, and your family, you and your family. Everybody's good neighbors and friendly and all, but you would not allow a good parent, a good mother, you wouldn't allow your child to get up today and say, well, Mom, I'm not going to eat breakfast here. I think I'm going to go across the street and eat breakfast with Mrs. Smith. And you say, yeah, sure, go ahead. And lunchtime. Mom, I don't want to eat dinner here, lunch here. I think I'm going to go down the other end, and I'm going to Miss Brown's house, and I'm going to have lunch over there. I'm going to eat over there. And would you say, oh, yes, sure, help yourself. Dinner time comes. Mom, we're not going to eat home here for dinner. We're going down the second house on across the street, and we're going to eat dinner with the Lemon family. No, 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 you wouldn't allow that. No matter how many families, how many houses, no matter how cute and nice and friendly they may be, you would not have your children, your child, you wouldn't go from house to house, this house, that house, the other house, to eat your meals or to wash your face or to launder your clothes. The analogy I'm trying to make is, why would you go? Why wouldn't you do that? Because it's not safe. It's not sanitary. You don't know what those people have going on in their houses. And you can't mix Mrs. Smith's food with Mr. Brown's food and Mr. Brown's food with Miss Lemon's food because you don't know what's missing or what's being added. So naturally, so spiritually, you can't be church hopping. They preach one thing over here and they preach something else over there, and they don't believe in standing, they don't believe in praying, and they don't believe in lifting up their hands, and they don't believe in Jesus. So that's the danger. You're not being fed consistently. No one's there caring for, nurturing, and giving you the spiritual nutrients that you need. Does that make sense, Miss Ann?
Makes sense to me.
So that's the disadvantage, or that's what's not so good. Even though they may call themselves preachers or teachers, you don't know what you're taking into your spirit when you church hop.
So do the flip of that. You told us why church hopping is dangerous. So then the benefits of having a church home are what?
Number one, that you have a shepherd, a pastor, that cares for your soul, that's the watchman over you, that's responsible for feeding you and nurturing you and praying for you and in teaching you and encouraging you to be built up in your faith. He's responsible. The word of the Lord says, and he gave some. There are good shepherds, and there also are hirelings. That scripture, hireling, the meaning of that, folks, they're just hired. All they want to do is, shall I say, fleece you. Like they just want to, they want the sheep so they can just get all the wool, all the goody out of you, and not really be depositing that which is holy and sacred and righteous.
Thank you. Never thought about that word before, but thank you for giving a definition.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that answer suffices. Write me and tell me if it doesn't. We're going to go on to the next question because, again, we're trying to get to as many as we possibly can. And the next question says, when I come to church, it's hard for me to let go of my personal struggles and get into the worship service. Any tips on how to get past that so I can actively participate in my worship?
I think the first tip that I would offer is before you leave home or wherever you are, let's say when you awaken, it's a good idea to spend a few minutes in the Word or on your knees talking to the Lord. If it's no more than just thanking him for awakening you, yet in the land of the living. So what I'm saying is, I think if you spend time with the Lord and spend time in the Word, you have something to build on. And then as you make your preparations to get to church, if you focus on what the Word said, maybe the Bible scripture you read, or maybe just one verse that you read, or maybe a particular song, a little tune that the Lord will drop into your spirit, or to think about what you, how you pray to the Lord and expect Him to respond to you. And as you make your way to the house of the Lord, it wouldn't be so difficult because your mind is not on your problem or on your struggle, but it's on the scripture that you've read, it's on the song that you sang, it's on the little praise that you offer to the Lord. You follow me? It kind of changes your mindset. And one thing that's very important it's part of the worship in most churches is to sing. Another tip, sing. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. So another tip is just begin to sing and then include somebody else to sing with you. You may be coming with your brother, maybe riding with your sister. Come sing this song with me. Because, like, here's a good example. When there's a catastrophe, when there's an accident, when there's a problem, and there's a group of people, very often if the ship is sinking, I'll just say, or whatever, the captain or the person in charge will say, let's sing a song. Because singing brings harmony, it brings about a spirit. And you can't sing and worry. You can't sing and focus on a problem. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's a tip that I would offer.
So I want to add a little thing that we do before we start our praise and worship, praise and worship leader usually asks everyone to stick their hand in the air, their hand in the air and just wave it around as if they're swatting flies or clearing something off and just clear your atmosphere. When I do it, I'm sure to say, if you need to ask for forgiveness, ask for it now. Before we start our worship service, because a lot of times people don't get into it because they know what they did last night or they know what they said on their way to the church, and so they just, you know, the devil will just take your own sin and your own guilt and beat you over the head with it. So I usually tell them, stick your hand in the air and just clear your atmosphere, clear your mind, forget about what you have to do when you leave here and what you have to do this week and what's going on or what happened this past weekend. It's all about God right now. It's all about Him at this moment. You can pick that up later if you choose to. Now, if you choose to give it to him and leave it there. But just clear your atmosphere. And I think I pretty much got that from you.
The other thing I would say is there is a scripture that says to cast your cares upon the Lord because He careth for you. And that's in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 7th verse. And so sometimes we just have to make a concentrated effort. If your struggles and your concerns are so burdensome or so upsetting to you, they're that heavy, then you don't need to carry them. You need to just throw them on the Lord according to His word.
And when they say throw, I mean, what is that? Literally. Not literally throw, but give us an example of what that means. You know, I like to be practical.
A good example of casting or throwing, it's like when a fisherman is out in the middle of the water or on the the bank, the edge of the water, banking as a rod. He pulls that rod up and he casts, he throws the line into the middle of the water. And you just have to make a mental decision, mentally or emotionally, I'm going to throw this off of me. It's like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. And I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to give it, cast it to the Lord. And casting carries the inference that you're getting rid of something. You know what I mean? It takes a little effort, a little power to hoist it and get it away from you. That's what it is, getting it away from you. That's the best I can come up with at the moment.
Okay. We'll take that. Okay. Moving on to the next question. I think this is the last question that has to do with church, I think. It says, I love my church and my church family. I can't imagine going anywhere else and being under any other fellowship. But there is a severe problem of nepotism. The pastor only lets his children do everything, and they aren't that great at it. Should I bring this to his attention, and how should I do it?
Probably the pastor already knows that his children are doing everything. It may be that's how he set it up, or he's comfortable with them because he knows or she knows that he has trained them or that they've been trained to do X, Y, Z. Or he uses them because it keeps them active in his church.
Mm. Okay.
So, no, you really don't need to call, you really don't need to approach the pastor and state to him that your children are doing everything. And you sure don't need to tell him they're not that great at it. Another approach would be to approach your pastor and ask him, I'd like to do X, Y, Z in the church. I'd like to bring a concert, or I'd like to have a missionary service and invite so-and-so and so. See how he feels about that. Or get the program organized like you would like to have it done. Beautiful paper, your invocation, the scriptures, the theme, the dress, and the person that you would like to include on the program and present it to the pastor. This is what our youth group would like to do, or my Sunday school class was wondering if we could do X, Y, Z. That's one way to do that. Present him with the program and show him that it can be done. The other thing I want to say is sometimes if you can't work with somebody, your children, you work around them.
How do you do that?
Well, same thing. First thing I just said, get the program together, organize, whatever, and take it to the kids or whoever which one is in charge and say, how about doing such and such? And let them think it's their idea. Have them as the primary speaker, or, you know, let them do something on the program. If they're involved, you know the pastor's going to let them do it because he lets them do everything. But you just work all the other goodies, all the other niceties around them.
So let me just be clear, and something you have is making a lot of noise in my ear, but if their children do everything, I believe the question was, they do everything, but they're not that great at it.
So that's why you put it together as excellently as you can. But you must include them in some way, form, or fashion. You must include them.
Wait a minute. Come on. If they can't sing, they can't sing. So how are you supposed to include them in all
that? Then you won't have them sing, but maybe you'll have them be the MC, where they'll introduce the other singers. You may have them. You have to, if you're telling me that your father or the pastor wants, lets you do everything, then you're going to have to. That's just another means of getting your program across, by allowing them to participate or allow them to present the program, give them the program, and let them critique it or add what they want to add to it. You just have to work around it.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you, but I think I don't know. I might have a little bit of problem with that, because if I can't come to the pastor and bring something to his attention, and this isn't my question, but I'm just listening to your answer, like, why do I have to do everything all around them? Why can't I just go to him and just, maybe he doesn't realize he's doing it, maybe he's not intentionally doing it, or even if it's coming to him and say, well, Pastor, I'd like to sing a song. Like, what's wrong with that? There's nothing, absolute rule.
Nothing is wrong. Remember, my first answer was go to him and present a program to him, or whatever it is, whatever you want to just present it to him. And if he says yes, yes. If he says no, no. But I'm just saying, I don't think you should not. You certainly have to approach him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the first thing I say is go to the past, prepare whatever you want, so that when you talk to him, her, when you address it, you're not just talking about, oh, one day I might like to do such and such. Not vague, but have it hammered out, hammered down. What time you want to start, where you want to have it, how much the tickets would be, or what the menu would be, or who the guests would be. Have everything prepared for him where he can't really say, I don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how to do that. Well, who and when and what? You'd have all the answers there for him. That was one approach. And the second one, I said, you could approach one of his children and get them involved, though you're working around them. Get them involved. You've done everything you want done, and just give them a part to play on the program.
That doesn't work.
Well, there's always noonday prayer in Bible study. You can always stand up and say, I'm going to ask the Savior to help me.
Okay, just a little jokey joke right there. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That makes sense. I don't know how I missed that. But, you know, I just think that it's supposed to be, you should be able to talk to your pastor. And if he doesn't, because I have friends who left the church. Well, and actually the pastor's children left the church because everyone else started complaining that you're only using your child. And do I believe the pastor had intentions with it? Yeah, I think he intentionally was doing it. It was intentional, but it was causing an uproar in the church until the child left. So that's just the flip side, the other side of the church. But to my question, but I have two more questions that I'd like to get to in a few minutes. And they almost don't even seem, after that question, like I should ask it. But I will ask this one. This is a pretty lighthearted question. It says, banquets are a bit antiquated now. How do we celebrate our pastor's anniversary differently? I guess they don't want to have a banquet. I don't blame them.
Well, I think one thing, I kind of agree with you, banquets can be a bit much. But it might be you can celebrate it by doing something entirely different, whether it's coming together, organizing your committee, get a committee, and find out what the pastor enjoys. For an example, he may be a golfer. I don't know that much about golfing, but I know that there are some beautiful, beautiful golf courses or resorts where the men do come out and golf. And so you may, the committee may opt to have an affair, not a banquet, but maybe invite, see if it's doable, to invite some of the pastors or whomever's favorite people, male and female, to a golf luncheon where they can golf. Or do something he likes to, whether it's golfing or playing tennis or whatever. It's just putting an affair together around what he likes to do and presenting him for 2 or 3 hours and then presenting him with an envelope. And it's over and done with. Or, so whether they do a luncheon or a breakfast, it's casual, dress down, you understand.
Sure.
Just find out whatever, you know, what he likes to do, and or plan a tournament. Or something like that, something that would really pique his interest, and have the committee come out, or afterwards, after they've done all their golf, because everybody's not a golfer, or whatever. But afterwards, they can come out and just have refreshments, celebrate him, and send him on his way. Or if he's maybe interested in voting. Same thing with the boating thing. You know, do something on the boat. Take them down the street of Philadelphia, as far as Philly's concerned, whatever your city you're in, and plan something like that. And again, you present him with an envelope.
You keep saying the envelope. What is your deal with presenting him this envelope?
Well, not only does he have fun, but he gets an honorarium. Oh, we're celebrating them. That's the point. Celebrate them. Or even if it's for the church. The church can get on board. We'll all do something different, you know. Plan a carnival. Plan a, you know, a bazaar. But the benefit is for whether it's the pastor of the church, he'll be pleased, I think, and not have to have a banquet.
Yeah, I think that's a really good answer, because sometimes you get kind of locked in. I know I used to plan things for you know, my grandfather, my bishop, and sometimes even my mom is just like, we want to do something different. What else can we do? And so kind of get outside of the box and do some things. But I don't know, how do you feel about everything and being so churchy all the time? Does that mean that if it's not necessarily, like you said, a golf event, it's not a churchy event, that the anniversary of the pastor is not being celebrated?
No, it's celebrated, because you still have the people from the church. Remember, it's really the people that make up the church. And so when you gather your deacons and your trustees and, you know, the various committee and chairpersons, you can make it really nice and much fun. And again, take it out of the church and promise the pastor will all be there Sunday morning at 10:45.
11:30 for us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. For our question and answer, remember, everyone, we have question and answers every last Thursday of the month. And I did not get to some of the questions, but some of the most serious questions, because we just didn't. But we'll put them on the top of the list the next time. But thank you all for listening. Until next week, thank you, Pastor C. You can email me at oneteachablemoment@gmail.com. Find your moment. Good night. Good night, Pastor C.
Good night. Love you dearly.